I wanna be a billionaire, I ain't getting no sleep, till I see a milli every week. I wanna be a billionaire, I ain't getting no sleep, till I see a billy every week. I wanna be a billionaire.
Ladies and gentlemen, how you doing? Welcome to another episode of Sleep is for Billionaires, the podcast. I am your host, Johnny Vegas. Now today, ladies and gentlemen, you're in for a treat. I got a very special guest on my show. Make sure you take some notes. This man is a music management associated with Sony Records and Roc Nation. Ladies and gentlemen, James Mark. How you doing, King?
Pleasure.
Appreciate your existence, my brother. You know, I know we've been trying to get it right, get you over here for the last, I don't know how many months, but we made it happen.
That we did.
That's what's up, man. How you doing today, bro?
I'm good, man. Today's a good day.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That's what's up. Every day above ground is a good day, right?
Yeah,
that's what's up. Well, the concept of this show is to get insider information for those looking to be in your position. So you in music management, I kind of wanted you to shed light on the entrepreneurial side of what got you, well, the even thought of being in this business, making it a success, and then your plans to maintain for the future. But before we even start with all that, man, where you from?
I'm from Washington, D.C.
Okay, that's what's up. Shout out to D.C. Okay.
Yeah, that's right.
So you was into music back in D.C. as well?
Yeah,
okay.
Absolutely.
Okay, well, tell me about that story, man. Like, were you rapping? What were you doing?
No, none of that. No, we had, as teenagers, man, we had this genre of music called go-go. And
okay.
One of my best friends.
Was that like for the strip clubs and all that?
No,
go-go?
It was its own genre. It's like Jamaican music, like reggae for Jamaica, you know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
That was our go-go was our music for the DC natives, you know?
Okay.
It was our thing, you know what I mean? And it was a vibe. My best friend, when we was growing up, he was a Congo player for a group called Rare Essence, so
okay.
I got into it, you know, front tails.
So yeah,
it was
like,
wow, there's a whole movement going on. So I was like, yeah, I like music. That point, you know what I'm saying?
Okay, and how old were you at this point?
I was like 15, 16.
Oh, okay, yeah. Okay, gotcha. So when you were in school, you had these, what was your like first dream before even getting to music management? I mean, what did James Marks want to be as a kid?
Yeah, I don't know, you know, you meet friends and they sing, you know, we really wasn't rapping. We could rap,
yeah.
That was just a talent back then, you know what I mean? So we didn't compare to KRS-One, you know, the real rhymers.
The pioneers.
Yeah. So, you know, we would put together a couple of flows, but we'll mix it with R&B, you know.
Mm.
I was heavy R&B growing up, you know.
Like singing?
Yeah.
Okay, that's what's up. You sang at church?
Nah,
just to sing?
No, it was like competition, you know, like nowadays, you know, you see who the best at the little PlayStation, the little 2K game.
Yeah.
We would have sing-offs, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. That was our thing. Yeah.
That's what's up, man. Oh, so when you say R, you were in a group?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So and with other groups across town, we'll meet up, we'll see who can turn out the crowd, you know what I'm saying?
Okay.
It was a little vibe, you know what I mean?
That's what's up. So that's when you would say you fell in love with music.
Yeah. When I saw what music, really the ladies, when I saw what singing did to the women, it was like, yo, I think I want to sing.
Sing the panties out.
Yeah, yeah. What's up?
Nah, that's cool, man. Okay. So, tell me, when did you see this as being a business for you?
I jumped in the game right after the love of music and realizing that I don't like to perform. I don't like the touring. I don't like none of that.
But you did do that.
Yeah, I did.
And
I didn't like it. I didn't like being constantly on the road, I ain't like none of that shit. So I was like, you know what? Maybe I should find a new angle. And at that point, writing, production, engineering all came to play. Like I can be involved without being the one with the mic in the hand. So I took a little step back and did that for a while.
But what made you decide, like when you were performing, doing these tours, like, what made you say this wasn't for me? Because somebody would jump at that opportunity. I know I would. So it was like, why wasn't it for you? What didn't you like about it?
I was really focused on money at an early age.
Got it.
The artist wasn't getting it like I want to get it. You know what I mean?
Mm.
So through the transition, you talk to a lot of people. And the common medium was the manager, the one who connected the dots.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I want to be that guy, you know, because it doesn't tie you to one situation. As a manager, I can manage 20 artists, take 5 to 10% from 20 artists. Some might have traction, some might not, but it keeps you working. You know, you manage one person and it slows down, you actually stagnant. You know what I mean? So that's what I took to management. I like the fact that I can keep working.
Gotcha. Okay. So, what makes a manager's job easy when it comes to dealing with artists?
If the artist is overly in love with themselves and their music and their artistry and their creation, and they're willing to help the manager get that push that he needs to be effective.
Okay. Can you elaborate more on that with what the artist needs to bring to the table and the type of person they need to be in order to make your job easier?
If your manager works harder than you, you're
a liability.
A liability at that point. Now, if you work harder than your manager, it's kudos. You know, and a lot of artists forget the manager is not supposed to finance the project. But I do it because I found a way to manage the project, finance the project, and get more of a return back. You know, some managers just want, hey, I just want to manage. I don't want to get involved in the investment part of it.
Okay. So as a manager, your job is to find opportunities for the artist to make money.
Absolutely.
And does that include marketing and promotion as well?
It shouldn't.
Okay, so that tells me you do that as well. So you're like a one-stop shop.
Yeah. I'm like a record label operating as a management company. You know, I can do from getting artists signed to keeping artists with me and providing the same stability, promotion, and marketing as the majors. So, but you have to be that elite artist, the one who loves music, passionate about it, and understand that the financier must be recouped.
Got it. Okay. So what can an artist expect, you know, when they sign to James Mark Management?
What an artist can expect? First of all, the artist has to be really prepared to get on this journey. I mean, no girlfriends. Girlfriends are a hindrance. Boyfriends are a hindrance. Everybody outside of the management team on the artist part has to be about the artist winning. You know what I mean? From the mom down to the little baby brother. Everybody got to be on the same road, same direction. Because any tension, you can lose. One person not doing their job is over.
Have you ever had a situation like that where you signed someone and, you know, one person out of the whole group just wasn't falling in line with the direction and kind of made everything tumble?
A couple of times. I mean, that's actually the most familiar. That's going to happen more times than the win. Yeah, the win.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is not a, you know, I'm down. I'm about 2-12, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
okay.
Like the Cleveland Browns over this one. You know what I'm saying? But I found my little, you know, my little Odell, you feel me?
There you go.
Found my little Baker, you feel me? Okay. I mean, we getting together, you know? Yeah, we gonna make a run for it, you feel me?
That's what's up.
So we have traction now, so that's what's important is the work that we all put in is now shining light on it.
Yeah, so I see you got famous Kid Brick signed to Warehouse, which is under Roc Nation.
Correct.
Shout out to Memphis Bleek. Shout out to famous Kid Brick. That's my guy right there. You know, so how did you even discover Kid Brick? Because I know he was grinding, but how did you catch wind of him?
Honestly, it was 2012,
2013. Okay.
I lived in Vegas, and my sons, I had boys in Tampa, Florida. And they were like, hey, Pop, hey, there's this dude I have blowing up. And I said, they talked so highly of him, you know, about 6-7 years ago. And I'm like, yeah, right, whatever.
Yeah,
you know what
I'm
saying? And then I came down, I checked him out. And he had a song called I'm On It out.
I'm on it, yeah. And
it was actually, from my perspective, from the music sense, it was beautiful.
Yeah.
Somebody had that much energy in one city. I was like, yeah, I want to be a part of this. You know what I mean? I got in at the bad time. I flew in. I offered what I knew of his team. I offered his team a little money, and they was like, nah, we Gucci. You got it, man. And, you know, I'm a patient man. You know? So I waited. You know, when that died down and, you know, I came and got my chance in 2017. I said, hey, you remember me?
Yeah, I remember.
I said, hey, let's do something now, man. What you got working on? He didn't have really nothing too much going on that he was happy about. So I said, hey, let me slide in this management. You know, give me 12 months. You'll have a deal.
Mm.
You feel me? I was certain that I could get him signed.
Mm.
You know what I mean? So I did that within 12 months.
That's what's up, man. Yeah. Okay. So how did you get the connection with, you know, Sony and Roc Nation? Like, I'm sure through the journey you made your connections, but, you know, tell me that. Tell me that grind.
Well, you know, in the whole time I've been always been a writer, producer, always been, you know, I connect this producer with this writer. You know, we create something beautiful and we put it out. And some of the interns you meet along the way are now presidents and vice presidents of labels.
Mm.
So we did that through what we, you know, the relationships we built over time, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. So just networking, kind of, you know, you found somebody in the right spot and connected the dots.
You know, like, you're going to be, you know, you're the next Oprah, so.
Yeah, we the next Oprah. It's a compliment. I know what you meant.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
I'll take David Letterman. Let's say David Letterman or something.
Thank you. They just don't explode as well.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but no, when you meet people on the come up, on the grind, you know, people that used to be on, like, you know, like Buckley.
Mm-hmm.
Used to be on the street team, and now
he's in the station. Yeah.
He's where you need to be.
Right.
That relationship is important to especially musicians in that city.
Mm-hmm.
You know, building a relationship at the ground up,
mm-hmm.
and at the ground level, and maintaining a good relationship, good rapport.
I agree. Now, speaking of cities, you know, we both lived in Tampa for some time. Tell me, do you think juke music will ever leave Tampa? Like, and I say leave, I mean like pop off.
Become national?
Yeah.
If they stick to it. But the thing about it is not everybody in Tampa embraces juke. It's not like you driving to Miami or you on down 75 and, you know, you listen to two or three stations going towards Miami. It ain't like the radio is supporting juke. You feel me?
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like, oh, you into Tampa? Hey, they you know what I'm saying? There's no press for what Tampa does.
Mm-hmm.
And to create that press is the whole city got to be behind it.
Mm.
We liked a couple of records, but then, like hip hop, oh, that's old. No, music doesn't get old, bro.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm.
I'm sure you can put on a Michael Jackson album, it doesn't feel like you're in the 1980s, does it?
Not at all.
You feel me?
Refreshing all the time.
And the city has to embrace juke.
Mm.
You know what I mean? And, you know, those who did it the best, I mean, I still think they got something.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, you know, if you believe in it, stick to it. And don't change your format for no one.
Right. Yeah, I feel like people do end up changing their format if they see something not working because they're hit chasing. You know what I'm saying? I did a lot of that too, you know, chasing the hit, trying to switch my style. But even my core audience was telling me, yo, stick to what we loved you for. You know what I'm saying? And I was like, yo, that's what's up. So I get that. Okay. Interesting. Okay. So now that Famous Kid Brick is in the hands of Roc Nation, did you just kind of like pass him off and then fell back, or are you still heavily involved?
I'm still part of his management team, you know, making sure the administration is done and whatever he needs, you know, that the label can provide, I'll make sure I'm there.
Okay. That's what's up, man. So why haven't you like, you know, I guess as a music manager, you know, is it like, you just, your own company, you just manage artists and then get them signed, or do you work directly under a label that you find talent for, like, or is it all of the above?
Well, my distribution is through Sony Orchard, so I do have a couple of acts. One act in particular that is close to me is an artist named Ghost Kai. Out of Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
He has a very good traction. I believe, you know, he wants the JME imprint, the James Mark Entertainment. He wants that. He doesn't want to be with a label.
Mm.
You know what I mean? If we get one, it's going to cost the label a lot of money for him. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But he wants to grind.
Like, pop off.
Yeah, he want to pop off from the
mud.
Yeah, from the mud. Mm-hmm. Like, he hey, I don't want none of that foo-foo, you know what I mean? Yeah. Hey, let's get it together. So he one of those artists that you look for in a management company that's willing to grind for himself as well as the person who puts money behind him, you know what I mean? And that's very important. Because, you know, it's that, you know, the key to success.
Right.
It's two or more people trying to acquire the same goal.
Yeah.
At the same speed, you know what I mean?
Yeah. So for entrepreneurs who want to be in music management, what's a number you would say would be a wise investment to put in, a realistic number to put into an artist to say, okay, there's a possibility we could win with this amount of money behind it?
I mean, like you said, you're chasing hits.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be a movement.
Mm-hmm.
If this person comes to you with a Jip style record, and you favor Jip, and you know little cities that, hey, I can present you to these cities, my DJs, my radio personnel, my PDs, and they will embrace me with my connection and move this movement, get this movement moving forward. Probably about, you know, $100,000.
Mm-hmm. That's minimum.
I mean, if you ain't got $100,000, hey, you should go apply at McDonald's, Burger King, or something. Just, and you got to be willing to throw that $100,000 in the trash. It's strictly a relationship.
So this is definitely a gamble. This is like, you know, prepare to lose it.
Crap's it already in Vegas.
Right.
Hey. And there's no, if you don't have the stomach to lose, I wouldn't get into music at all.
Because
everybody I know lost more than they won.
Gotcha. You hear that? This is real talk from the horse's mouth, man. Okay. So you know, as you're in music management and you're a family man, you know, you have children and all that. So how do you balance that, you know, because you mentioned that when you get an artist, you know, you tell them, listen, no girlfriend, none of this, just straight focus, you know, do you apply that to yourself or do you kind of balance to kind of take care of home and family and management?
Well,
how do you manage that?
Well, my family is music. They do, my daughters run the internet campaign for me, for all my artists. My sons help the management. So if I need an artist to, you know, if I need a Facebook ad or a Say Cheese or a Baller Alert ad, my sons do that for me. You know, they act, they write the press, they get it done. My whole family works for Jamie. So they're heavily involved with what I do.
Okay. So you got them working like Joe Jackson.
Yeah. They said my only downfall in life was not being able to allocate positions. Like, I always wanted to do it myself. So I allocated my children.
As you should. You know what I mean? And they're your offspring. They came from you. So let them do something for you now. That's what's up, man.
Definitely.
Okay. So what do you see, you know, James Marks Management, you know, what's the ultimate goal for it? You know, are you trying to make it like a, you know, like a Sony record? You know, are you trying to be the next Diddy? Like, what's your goal?
I don't know. I mean, right now, you know, I have Willie Taylor from Day 26 on my roster. I got B5, the old group.
Damn, they still around?
Hey, they only 26.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so they're still young.
They on the roster. I got Ghost God. I got Famous Kid Prick. I got a couple of very musically talented, you know, musicians. You know, with PK. PK Lane, he coming out. I got a dude named MB Royal. I mean, he the next Billy Joe.
Billy Joe.
Hey.
That's a big step. That Billy Joe, woo! Hey. He bad. Okay, I gotta hear that.
Him and that piano got married.
Okay.
You feel me? That's like what that. I mean. Like, hey, I see him. Hey.
Yeah.
He mimics what my vision of Billy Joe.
Because,
you know, I got introduced to Billy Joe at an early age.
Right.
And what I liked about him, this dude has.
You
know, and I'm like, he from Tampa. Tampa got a lot of talent in it.
Yeah.
You know, I haven't went fishing too much anywhere else. Right. Chicago just unbelievable talent.
You know, I'm sure, yeah.
So, yeah. Got a couple of managed a couple of producers, a couple of writers, mm-hmm. you know, Cajun. Yeah, a producer out of Chicago, Ace Beats, he from Tampa. Mm-hmm. Well, he really from Gainesville, but he did phenomenal with my Latin artists. I got two Latin artists that got a little traction going on right now, Zoni Cole and Casey Nieves.
Okay.
They got two hot singles out right now that's definitely showing promise, so.
Okay.
The Diddy thing, I don't know, because you know it's a different time, different era,
mm-hmm.
but my ultimate goal is for everybody to be happy, everybody to be making money from music, and we move as a unit, you know what I mean? That's my ultimate goal.
Okay, I like that. Tell me, how do you think the streaming era affected the music business? You know, do you think it helped it? Do you Absolutely. Think it didn't? Okay, tell me more.
Streaming is the Ford.
Okay.
Of music.
Hmm.
You used to walk and take horses and donkeys. Now they put four wheels on you. You get somewhere faster.
Hmm.
And I think streams is that kind of information and turning point to a new generation of music.
Hmm. Okay. But what I mean, yeah, I guess so, because now that I think about it, you know, before streaming, you know, there was piracy.
Yeah.
Basically, people were taking your shit. You know what I'm saying? Before that, it was CDs and tapes and all that. Sure. So it definitely was an upgrade. It definitely keeps the artist's music protected, you know, as long as those websites aren't available, you can download it. I mean, they still are. I mean, you're not doing that shit. But anyway, that's another story. But okay. So you think it helped it. Yeah. All right. So tell me, without giving too much of the secret sauce on how you, get the formula going for these artists through streaming, you know, how is that? Well, explain that marketing strategy to where you can almost guarantee an artist to be successful through the streaming without giving too much of the secret sauce.
It depends on what that level of success is to that artist.
Okay.
If it's money, streaming is your answer. Being popular will never change. Being famous will never change. You're gonna get your ass out there and work.
Mm.
You're gonna be famous. Every time you sit in your house and you're playing the game, you won't be famous. Nobody gets famous from playing the game in music.
Mm-hmm.
You feel me?
Mm-hmm.
So anytime you have a moment, you should hit the streets.
Mm-hmm.
If it's just shaking hands, I tell people, you can guarantee your own platinum by shaking a million hands.
Mm-hmm.
If you shake a million hands, you can almost guarantee that you'll go platinum.
Right.
So that's what I tell all my artists. Don't talk numbers to me. If you don't know 500,000 people, don't talk gold to me.
Mm.
You got to make sure you know 500,000 people.
Mm.
If you really want to go gold, you got to make sure you know 500,000 people. Touch them. How you doing? I'm so-and-so. This is my music. Do you care to download? Do you care to give a listen to?
Mm.
If you haven't did that to 500,000 people, don't expect to be gold.
Mm. Yeah, I gotta get hungry, man. You gotta want it bad. You gotta go back to those old school rules before Twitter and Instagram. There was the streets, word of mouth.
Yeah.
You know, so now I definitely get that. Okay. Who are some of your influences? I'm curious, you know, because, you know, the direction you've been heading in since young, you know, was I kind of directed to only music, and then you stepped in the management side of things. And there's a lot of people, you know, we discussed them off camera, like Clarence Avon and Clive Davis and Diddy, you know, even Quincy Jones that played a major role in, you know, in the music executive role. So who are some of your influences in that regard? Well, or just in life in general?
Actually, I really, between my era, because I'm Jay-Z and Puffy's age,
mm-hmm.
I watched them do moves
mm-hmm.
that I was like, okay, that's how you did. Wherever they failed, I said, okay, I'm gonna avoid that. Wherever they succeeded, I said, okay, that's cool, put that in the pot. I can use that later.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So basically, Sean
and Sean.
Yeah. Sean and Sean. Yeah, the two Sean. Yeah. Basically, it was them.
Yeah.
I mean, just watch them win, lose, and keep on trucking. I like their ability. I don't think they quit at all.
Not at no level. I think when you fail is when you quit.
Yeah.
And when you quit is when you fail. Either one. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, people always used to tell me, like, hey, you've been doing this for so long. Like, you know, and sometimes they expected me to be here, but I was still here. And it's like, you know, I feel like I'm still in the race. It's a marathon. You know, you only fail when you quit. You know what I'm saying? So you just got to keep pushing.
And you set your own goals. Like, you know what Puffy's goal was? Clearly it wasn't mine. You feel me? Plus, like I said, where you from? And this is only my ideology. Mm-hmm. Where you from matters. I'm not saying that Rick Ross had it any easier or harder than Sean Combs. Mm-hmm. But definitely when New York was popping, New York was popping. Mm-hmm. It was almost rap music and then New York rap music. Right. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And sometimes when you're not from one of those cities that
they don't respect
you. Hey, you can't even get in the door. You're not going to fire you.
Right.
And I also refused to intern. I don't know if that was a downfall or what, but I don't work for free. I never have, never will. Mm. Some people good at it. Mm-hmm. I don't get free services at all.
Right, right. Well, I mean, yeah, you're a little past that stage. That's more for like college students, you know what I'm saying, trying to make it and stuff like that. So
but those who interned, those are not the executives now. You feel me?
So now that you regret that?
Never.
Okay. No,
because the time they spent working for free, status-wise, it looked good on paper. But we can go to the bank accounts and see, hey, I ain't never worked for free. Right. Paid off. You feel me?
Right.
Now, I'm an investor. I'm now paying you to promote my artist. I'm still on top. Mm-hmm. You feel me? I'm still bringing paper to somebody who worked for free and now has a better position in life to promote music, get it out there. I like my position where I stand.
Right. You know? As you should. As you should. You definitely always be proud of your achievements.
Yeah, for sure.
You know what I'm saying? Do you think there's an age limit, you know, when it comes to, you know, signing artists? Like, for example, with you, I mean, I'm not sure if, because you mentioned you deal in Spanish, you know, you got a Billy Joel in the back pocket, you know, you got hip hop. Do you think there's an age limit with the artists that you would choose to work with? Like, explain that.
Not to be gender bias with everything that's going on in America. Hell yes.
Okay.
From a close friend said, don't bring me anybody that's over 24 or turning 5 within the 12 months before I get a deal done.
Oh, turning 5?
25.
Okay.
So it's a reason for their madness. Mm. So if I want to play in their field, in their game, I don't mind having that same law. Mm. Even though, you know, if you're older than 25, you got to have an extraordinary talent that just can't be overlooked.
Yeah.
You feel me? We can't. At 25, you should need artist development. Mm-hmm. You feel me? Mm-hmm. So I'll take that in consideration. If you're over 25, I mean, you got to be able to grab the mic and...
Yeah, blow everybody away.
People want to be at, you sure? He's not 22? Yeah, I'm positive he's 30. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? You feel me? Like, you got to be that undeniable, you know what I mean? But
does the following play a big role with that in that regard as well?
Well, I'm going to tell you what they do. What I discovered is when you get an act right out of high school or within a junior, senior year, you got automatic fans that you can build from. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I take that maybe that's why the labels do it so young. Because those fans are more impressionable.
Right.
And he went to, you know,
he went to high school,
you know what I'm saying? Yeah. He played in our district, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So that's promotion you ain't gotta pay for. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? That's word of mouth you ain't gotta pay for, you know what I mean? And you can't really beat that. And that's why I steer teeter totter between the 18 and 20. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, a 20 year old, you know, if he's still in the same city, depending on how alive he was in high school, though, you know, because of Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, you can stay the high school king for, you know, well after high school's over, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, you know, you can capitalize that, especially in the music industry. You can use that to your advantage.
Okay. That's well said. That's what's up. Gave me a lot of things to think about, you know what I'm saying? Because sometimes I have that stigma because I just turned 34, you know what I'm saying? But I got so much going on, but it's like, music was always in my heart, you know, as far as being an artist. But now, as I'm getting older, it's more so like, okay, now I want to take I want to take that back seat, but I still want to be in the game and facilitate deals and make money that way. You know what I'm saying? Because This rent don't pay itself, my nigga. You know what I'm saying? So things like that gotta get done. But no, that's what's up, man. Okay, okay. Well, what kind of advice can you give to up and coming artists who seek management or just trying to get in the game and, you know, eventually will need management?
I really want to tell the artists that seeking
management.
And the artists that seeking management, please bring something to the table other than your music. Like, something. Because right now, it's 225 million rappers.
Big facts.
Hey, you got to stand out, man. You know, hey, instead of meeting on top of the, you know, say the Empire State Building, say, meet me up here, I'm here. You know what I'm saying? I'm sure you guys can get a kite, jump off. Hey, do something.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because we out here putting up real money for your talent and your love and your passion. Because, you know, I don't have a passion to rap. So when you come to me with the passion to rap, have something else other than music. Like, what are you providing for yourself before you ask for a manager to come in and join your team? For what? What are we joining? You know what I mean? Someone who got some MP3s on the email. You know what I'm saying? Nah, man. Ain't bringing something else to the table. You know what I mean? That's most important. Music is not just about the music. The character, the groundwork you've done. You know what I mean? You know, for some reason, people with 200 followers won't manage me. I'm not going to knock them. Hey, good luck to you. But that 200 followers shows me you ain't working hard enough. And it's free to get a follower, right?
Right.
So that's my advice.
I agree. I agree. Well, I want to thank you for coming through, James. I'm saying you gave some great advice today, man. Yeah. Even some for myself, you know what I'm saying? Because I asked questions that I had unanswered.
Oh, okay.
You know, as well as what people were telling me to ask you as well. Because I told them, you know, I had a music manager coming through.
Okay.
And they submitted some questions. So, you know, again, I want to thank you for coming through. I wish you much success in all your endeavors. And hopefully we can work together in the near future as well. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Sleepers for Billionaires, the podcast. I am your host, Johnny Vegas, the ultimate James Mark in the building. Let the people know where they can holler at you and submit their talent.
Okay. Yeah, you can holler at me at JamesMark24. And you can hit the